Hey, this is your host, Brandon Calloway, and before we get started, I just wanted to let you guys know that we are about to launch the third installment of our flagship title at Dark Moon Comics. We're launching Black Spartans Chapter 3 on Kickstarter August 2nd, so please follow the Kickstarter pre-launch page. Black Spartans is about a world full of monsters, demons, mythical creatures, and these group of people called hunter guilds that get paid to go from one city to the next and deal with whatever mythical creatures plaguing that city that day. And so the story follows Balbino, our main character, as he goes on an adventure to build his own hunter guild from scratch and restore his father's honor. Throughout this journey, he'll meet with friends, fight demons, clash with corrupt hunter guilds, as well as come face to face with the Demon King Shuden Doji, who really just wants to protect his people. So it's a awesome story, if I do say so myself. Chapter 3 deals with the hunters, the Black Spartans, trying to relax between jobs, and they come, you know, on something worse than hunting demons. They have to come up against a corrupt hunter guild. So check it out, Black Spartans Chapter 3 launches on Kickstarter August 2nd. All right, enjoy the episode. What's up, my fellow indie comic nerds? This is Brandon Calloway, writer and creator of Black Spartans, founder of Dark Moon Comics, and I am your host for the Black Comic Creators Podcast. This is a podcast where we talk to Black creators in the indie comics and manga space and just learn more about their creative process, their overall business, how they got into it, how they grew their audience, and what inspires them. So stick around. Hope that you have as much fun listening as we do chopping it up and getting to know each other. All right, let's get to it. All right, we are back with another episode of Black Comic Creators. Today I have LaShawn Colvin, the writer of Beautiful Soldiers. And I'm gonna kick it over to LaShawn because they do so much more than just that. So go ahead, LaShawn, introduce yourself and what you do.
All right, hey guys. I'm LaShawn Colvin. I am an artist, writer, comic book editor, comic shop owner, EIC of a publishing indie publishing company. Honey, I do it all.
Editor EIC is editor in chief.
Yes. So yeah, I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy, you know, to be talking with Brandon today. So I'm ready to get into it.
Cool. So let's dive in. Let's first talk about Beautiful Soldiers. So how long have you been working on it? When did it get published? What's it about? All of that. Let's talk about Beautiful Soldiers first.
Okay, cool. Let's see. Well, Beautiful Soldiers is, I guess I'll tell you what it's about, give you a little history of the story. Mm-hmm. It's about four young women who each control their own elements: earth, air, fire, and water. Mm-hmm. They are descendants of a very powerful, an evil type of alien race called the Elementals. And the Elementals are looking for the fifth element, which is spirit. Mm-hmm. It was stolen from them like many, many years ago. And the Beautiful Soldiers' parents were the ones who took it. And so fast forward to the present time, the Beautiful Soldiers are basically trying to find that element before the Elementals get to it first. And when you think of spirit, the element spirit, you think of it on the power of God, you know, creating life, death, the universe, everything. So if the Elementals get that power first, turning all hell somewhere loose.
Right.
So that's a little bit about the story. I started working on it back in, I think, my first drawing of my first character I ever designed for it, when I really started to take it serious, was back in 2013. Mm-hmm. That's when I first put pencil to paper. Yeah. And I remember when I also got into comics at the time, I was in college. I was majoring in computer animation. I was also working on a portfolio for DC Comics to show a DC Comics editor that that I was trying to also break into drawing for DC. And I remember one of my professors at the school I was going to, she was like, well, you know, it's good that you want to, you know, draw for DC. That's amazing. But why don't you create your own? And when she told me that, that's when I started to really take it serious, because I was like, I've always wanted to create, you know, my own series. You know, I grew up on Power Rangers and Sailor Moon, okay? So, you know, that's something I've always wanted to do since I was a child. And when I was talking to my professor at the time, she basically really encouraged me. And that's when everything first started then.
Yeah, that's what's up. So, and it's always crazy to me. I do obviously a lot of these interviews, and you know, just, and people ask me all the time, like, oh, how you go about creating your own comic? And like everything that I hear from people is just that, oh, I got an idea and somebody told me I could do it, so I did it. And I feel like like people are always expecting some like long and magical answer, but it's really that your professor said, why don't you just do it? And he was like, yeah, why don't I?
And you know what, Brandon, also I remember like when I first got into comics, like I read comics, of course. So I knew the process a little bit, but I didn't have like no mentor. I didn't have nobody showing me, no teaching me. It was all 100% grind, research, learn, practice. Oh my God, I remember I was posting my art like every day. I joined like 20 different Facebook art groups, a bunch of comic book groups on Facebook and Instagram, and I was just posting my work, posting it like every day, all day. Friended anybody that I knew liked comics, because at the time, I remember like I didn't have like no fan base. And for like my first year alone, I was posting my art and like picture this, Brandon, picture posting your baby, like your creation, your bubble of what you have put so much into, and not getting that one like, not one comic for months at a time. Yeah. But I didn't care about none of that. I was like, even if I just get one person to see what I'm doing and like it, cool, I'm in there. I think after a year, I think my likes started going up to like, my engagement started going up to like 20 to like 20. Honey, when I was getting 20, I thought that I was that girl. And then I kept going, and now like hundreds of people engage with me every day about it. And that's what persistent does, you know?
Yeah, being consistent. And so, you know, so that's another thing that I want to talk about, because I imagine, you know, and we'll get into talking about this later, but you know, you now have a publishing deal, which I imagine that consistency played a big part in getting. But before we get there, I want to go back even further. How'd you first get into you said you were a reader of comics and all of that before you started even trying to have the idea of drawing your own characters? How'd you first get into comics?
I first got into it. Actually, Beautiful Soldiers opened up that door. So many people were seeing me post my art and pages from the book and everything I was doing, and I had got like a really nice fan base from that. And then a publishing company called Short Fuse Media Group. They had to open it for an editor. Because I love being a comic book editor. I love that probably even more than drawing, being an artist. I love being an editor. I love working with creators and seeing their creations come to life and helping them mold their books. And I owe it to, I think this in a lot of my interviews, I owe it to Dorothy Jean. I don't know if you know who she is. She's the creator. She's a Black Haitian woman, creator of a really, really nice comic called Spirit Destiny. And I was her editor for like a good 2 years. And when Short Fuse had that, she was a creator up under Short Fuse. And when Short Fuse had that opening for a co-editor position, because I started off as co-editor before I got promoted to top editor. And I was talking to Dorothy and I was like, I would love to, you know, start going to the next level with my editing. And she talked to like the big people who were over the publishing company, and they called me and did an interview with me and left me. And then everything was really downhill from there. I was working as editor on like, at the time, like at least a good 12 books with the company on top of being a freelance comic book editor with other people contracting me outside the publishing company to be their editor. And I was editing like almost a good 20 books at the same time, like different creators. I was hitting it. I was on top of drawing my girls and working on Beautiful Soldiers and still working a full-time job with Walmart as a department manager. So it was pure
So, you know, you got into it. You started drawing Beautiful Soldiers, and then you got this idea of like, let's just go forward and do self-publishing. How did you build up your audience from posting and getting zero likes to getting 20 likes to actually being able to fund a Kickstarter and publish this thing that that people are reading?
That's a good question. And I tell a lot of people there is no right or wrong answer. It's right. Like, because you've interviewed plenty of people, so everybody's kind of journey is a little different. Mm-hmm. And for mine, it was the first thing before I even did anything with trying to build engagement, I realized that nobody on my friends list or on my Facebook or any of my social medias are comic readers. So if I'm promoting a comic and a product to the audience I had, that's like, I mean, that's just dumb on my part because nobody's into it. I don't have that fan base. I don't have people who are really hardcore comic readers. So I would definitely be wasting my time. So the first thing I did was I joined like, oh my God, 20 or 30 Facebook groups of comic book creators or comic book lovers, comic book collectors. And I was posting my stuff in there first. And then also I was friending people left and right. I was just friending them. Mm-hmm. And when I friended them, I was in an inbox. Like, hey, how you doing? I'm LaShawn. I don't like sending people friend requests if I don't introduce myself. That's like a big pet peeve of mine.
Yeah.
So everybody I was friending, I was saying hey to. And they was accepting me. And then I was doing that for like a good year straight, Brandon. Like every single day, posting in those groups, engaging in those groups, friending people who are in the comics. And then I would say probably like after that year, I slowed down because then people started friending me who were in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
And then that started to add on to my engagement. Another thing that I did was, as I was scrolling down my timeline, anybody that was posting anything with comics, I would comment on their post and like it. I wanted them to get used to seeing my little circular profile picture.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I wanted them to get used to seeing that face. So that way, when I start posting, they'll know, oh, that's the girl who posted on my thing. Let me see what she's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it took off.
That's what's up. That's what's up. So how many is Beautiful Soldiers. I think I saw somewhere that, was it a series, then it went to a graphic novel, and now it's being back to a series? Or was it a graphic novel originally, and it's a...
It was a comic book series, and then the CEO of Shortfuse, the publishing company I was working with, had suggested to me to turn it into a graphic novel. And so I liked that idea of a graphic novel, and I did that. Mm-hmm. And now,
it's a good idea. Like having a meaty book for people to sit down and read, it's a great idea.
Yes, it is. And I was able to get, it was good for what it was. I was able to, because what I ended up doing was, issue one is like a 50-something page comic. It's like an oversized issue. Mm-hmm. And then I had like five other chapters of side stories to give even more stories and character development for mm-hmm. for the girls and the characters. Mm-hmm. So that's what I ended up doing, because when he suggested to me to turn it into a graphic novel, hell, I had already finished the first comic. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, let me just do a bunch of side stories and give people even more story, you know, even though it's not dealing with the main plot, it's still good stories and character development that they can learn for the
character. World building is deepening mm-hmm. the world of that you're creating.
That's right. And then so for years I was working on that graphic novel, and now that I finally got it completed and I was getting ready to pitch to the big publisher, and I was ready to take it to the next level there, the publishing company that I ended up going with suggested to turn it back into a comic because it's more lucrative. I'll be looking at the collectors who will be more interested in collecting mm-hmm. each issue because it'll hold more value. Mm-hmm. And I like the fact of being able to be coming out with a new book every month in the comic shop.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that was
how many? How many issues or chapters do you have out already?
Issue one is mm-hmm. done, and then my four chapters of the side story. Mm-hmm. Now, since I've turned it back into a comic, if I'm going back to the main storyline, we're on issue two now. We're working on issue two. My publishing company wants me to get done with six issues total mm-hmm. before I hit the shops next year. Mm-hmm. And we're like halfway done with issue two. And so I'll have like a good 6 months of being in stores every month on my first art, because Image and Dark Horse and Scout and a lot of these publishing companies, they want the creators to have their art completed before they ever even distribute you in stores, because they don't want the shop, they don't want gaps, you know.
Yeah.
And one thing about indie comics is that, you know, when you're funding these projects yourself, it can be very time consuming. Mm-hmm. So they require for the art to be totally completed before they distribute you in stores, which is smart, because they don't want the comic shops to lose interest and they don't want the readers to lose interest. So I'm on issue two now with the main storyline. And then my goal is to be done with all six issues for my first art by the end of this year. And then I'll be hitting stores by 2023.
Cool. You said you hit stores in 2023?
Yeah. I'll be hitting stores in 2023 as long as I have all my six issues done by the end of this year, which we're on track to have that done.
Cool. That's what's up, man. So much stuff. Because I feel like we also glossed over the fact that you said that you own a comic book shop. So that's a whole nother thing, because it puts you on kind of another side. So me as an indie creator, you know, I'm mm-hmm. I'm always trying to talk to comic book shops, like, hey, carry my book, right? And so
yeah.
So I would, like, for you, I know that that has to be kind of just being on both sides of, like, being a creator yourselves. I imagine you get hit up by a lot of indie creators. So How did you come into owning a comic book shop? Why did you own a comic? Like, decide to own a comic book shop, and what's been your experience with it?
Okay. So I only in the beginning when because I opened my store on Halloween of 2020.
Perfect time
during the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I only did it because I wanted to sell my Beautiful Soldiers in my own store.
Right.
I was like, I'm going to sell my own book in my own store. That's what I want to do. So the store was supposed to be an add-on to Beautiful Soldiers, because Beautiful Soldiers is always going to be first with everything I do in comics.
Mm-hmm.
So the store was supposed to complement that, but it didn't turn out that way.
Yeah.
When I got the store, it took off really good. I had a huge grand opening. My boo Marcus Williams was there to support me. Greg Burnham, the Tuskegee Airmen guys. They came out. We had a good time. And it was great. And then it's a lot of work.
Yeah, I imagine.
It was more work than I had wanted it to be. And Beautiful Soldiers started to end up taking a back seat because I was always at the store. I was always dealing with people, you know. And it was a wonderful experience. I would not trade it for anything. I learned so much about what it takes to have a successful book in a comic. Mm-hmm. And the indie community got behind me really good. I carried a lot of indie titles in my store. And then fast forward to like the end of 2021, my lease was coming up and I didn't want to renew my lease.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, I wanted to move the store to a more storefront location in a larger shopping center. Mm-hmm. Because the next phase of the store was supposed to be my smoothies and coffees and lattes that I was going to start introducing. And the health department gave me so much crap and stuff I had to do in the location that I was, because it was never authorized to have like a sink and food.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, and so it was a lot of money. I think it was gonna be like $10,000 to start my smoothie line.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, let me just find a better location. So I didn't renew the lease. I found a gorgeous location in a nice area with a big shopping center, a lot of people in there. And then the owners who were there written out the place end up not wanting to leave. And the landlord didn't make them leave because they had been there for so long. So that messed me up real bad.
Yeah.
And then when I tried to go back to the old place that I was at, my landlord had already got that ready for somebody else to be there. So I had to just put all my stuff. I had to take everything I had in my shop. I sold some of it to kind of keep me afloat, mm-hmm. and then I put some of it in storage.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up trying to look for other places, but then my Beautiful Soldier stuff started to kick up real good.
Yep.
So then the store took a back seat. So I feel I'm going to open my store back up, but I'm not rushing it. I'm not in a hurry to do it right now. My book is really taking off, and I gotta put my energy on that before I go back to the store.
Yeah, which makes sense. I mean, yes. that's where the store started from. That's your core thing. So let's.
And I wanted to tell you one thing also that I was really really proud of is that I was the first Black woman in the South to open up a store. I had made history as the first Black woman, so I was real proud of that. That is something that I'm super proud of. I was the first one in the South and number two overall. You know, I don't know if you know Ariel, She's a black comic store owner in, I think it's Pennsylvania. She's the first one on the East Coast to open a store and the first woman to open one, period. And then I'm the second one. The store did what it was supposed to do. It took me to another level and it helped me get even more notice. I think I was on the Sci-Fi channel. Mm-hmm. I was interviewed by numerous magazines and podcasts and talk show. I was on a talk show. So it did what it was supposed to do.
That's what's up. So like having that store, getting that publicity probably actually helped you get your name out there and sell more books too.
Yeah, it helped me get my name out there and bring more attention to Beautiful Soldiers than it already had.
Yeah.
So it just really took my whole comic journey and comic career as a whole to the next level. And that is what I wanted.
Yeah, yeah. And so let's talk about that. Let's talk about where it is now. You just got a publishing deal. And so you want to talk a little bit? Yeah, absolutely. Congratulations. You want to talk a little bit about... I don't know what you can and can't say about the deal, but you talk a little bit about what that publishing deal means for you.
You don't have me start crying. Don't do that.
That's all right. That's all right.
For me, it brings a sense of I'm on the right journey and I need to continue to keep going because there are so many times that I wanted to quit. You know, and going back to what we talked about when I was telling you about promoting my artwork, Brandon, like if you could just thinking about when I used to promote my stuff and nobody would say anything. And I put so much heart into the post. I was looking back going, I'm like, I was so detailed and I was writing paragraphs and excited to show what I was doing and nobody would say anything. And, you know, it wasn't something that was, it was hurtful, but I didn't care because I was like, well, somebody was here, you know, even if it's just one person. And then I remember when I finally did get them 20 likes and 30 likes, and my engagement started to go up, I remember there was like a good 3-year period where I was, because I'm a single woman, I don't have no kids or anything, it's just me and my dog, Zena. My work is my pride. I put that before a lot of things. You know, you do comics too, so sometimes it can take your social life and take a hit when you're trying to focus on a bigger picture.
Yep.
And there were a good 3 years where I was living at my apartment. This was back, my mama passed in 2020. So this was before she passed. She passed in a house fire. And for those 3 years, you know, I was funding my book. You know, I was paying my artists, paying my colorists, paying my letterers, trying to, you know, and I don't know if you've seen any of my artwork from my book. Those,
oh, yeah, I have.
Okay, good. So that art is mine too.
Yeah. It's good stuff. It is good.
So, thank you.
Marvel DC type, like it is. Pro level artwork.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. You really don't know how much that means to hear you say that. And for those first 3 years, I did not have any hot water. I didn't have any gas, and I was living off of noodles. You know, microwavable noodles. By choice now, because I was a manager at Walmart. I made more than enough money to pay all my bills and live very comfortably. But I was trying to see what bills can I take off to put more to my dream and my goal. So I made that decision to take cold showers. In the winter, I would get my little heater, set it by my bed, and cuddle up with my dog, and we'll do what it do. For 3 straight years, I did that. And it was so many times where I just wanted to say, forget this. Forget this. I cannot do this. But one of my closest friends who also worked with me on my book, her name's Andrea Smith. Me and this woman have been friends, and we've been working on Beautiful Soldiers together for 8-9 years. She lives in the UK, in London. And I've never met her a day in my life. But we talk every single day. Her children call me Auntie LaShawn. Mm-hmm. They're my god children, and I love them to death. And that relationship is something that really got me through wanting to quit. Mm-hmm. You know, because I didn't have anybody else to help push me through, but she did. And yeah. I will always, and she's still here today working with me on my book. And so going back to your question, when you asked me, what does it mean to be at this level now? It means everything that I think back on that I went through was for a reason. Mm-hmm. And it was for a bigger picture. And I will never, ever change any experience, because all the relationships that I was talking to, trying to network with, Sebastian Jones with Stranger Comics, and the guys with Image, talking to them, trying to network with them, talking to editors with Dark Horse, and talking to editors with all these publishing companies, trying to say, hey, you know, can you see my book? You know, yeah. You know, and It feels good.
Yeah, that's amazing. And like to hear that story of, you know, unwavering resolve, and that like the end goal is success, and no matter what you got to go through to get to success, like you staying the course on that, is that's amazing, and got you to where you are today, which leads me to. Like if we could do the big announcement, who is the publisher that you
okay, so let me tell you all the ones I've sent it to. I sent my pitch to.
Go ahead.
I sent it to Dark Horse, I sent it to Image, mm-hmm. I sent it to IDW, mm-hmm. I sent it to Scout Comics, I sent it to Source Point Press, Ray Comics with TJ Sterling, mm-hmm. And then like a couple of other, like some more. I heard back from Image. I got an offer from Dark Horse. I got an offer from Ray Comics with TJ Sterling. I got an offer from Scout, and I got an offer from Source Point Press. So I had like 3 or 4 different offers on the table. Mm-hmm. But the ones that I knew my heart was telling me to go with was Scout. Because I love what Scout is doing in comics right now. They have big ties with Hollywood. A lot of their books have been optioned for TV and film. They are making some really, really good moves, and they are climbing the ladder as one of the bigger indie publishing companies to look out for. And I knew when I got an offer from Dark Horse, I was like, okay, that's good. Because I was posting about it and everything. But I was like, I looked at how Scout is on the smaller side. And I said, I can get in with them. Because I'm a big personality.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I can get in with them. Take over and being the popular creator, the HBIC, you know. And I just love what the guys are doing over there, and they love me. So that is who I chose. I ended up getting a publishing deal and a film multimedia deal as well.
That's what's up. So we obviously, this podcast is for just fans listening and trying to find new comics, but it's also kind of like a business guide for other indie creators. And you have hit like the
the like what a lot of people say their end goal or their, you know, jackpot it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to create this story. I want to build an audience. I want to submit it to, you know, a bigger publisher and get a TV and, you know, animation or you know, get a book deal and an adaptation. And so, you know, and when, you know, if you haven't started getting all of those questions already, but when those questions start flooding into you and you know, what would you how should I do this? What advice do you have for other indie creators who are trying to get to the point where they can turn down a offer from, you know, Dark Horse? So what advice would you give?
That's a good question. My advice would be to creators who want to get to that next stage. First, look at your product. Everybody, you know, we all got our books and we all say, oh, my book is this, my book is the best, my book is this and that. But even as a comic shop owner, when I used to bring people's books in my store, the first thing that I would look at is art. Because mm-hmm. I'm an artist at heart. Mm-hmm. And if that art, I don't care how good that story is, if your art, because that's what people are going to look at first. That's, yep. Before they read anything, they're going to look at that art. And if you cutting corners and buying cheap art, artists, then you're going to get a cheap result. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying that that people got to go 3 years without hot water.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that. But I always tell them, even when I'm as being their editor, I would tell my writer, get the best art that you can afford. Your book has to sit on the shelf and stand toe-to-toe with any Marvel or DC book. That is why Marvel and DC is Marvel and DC, because they also invest in the best art that they can for their books.
Right.
You know, so that is what got me noticed by a lot of the publishing companies, was the art. And then after they started noticing the art, then I started getting messages and stuff from them asking, well, what is the story about? Can you send me the synopsis? Can you send me, you know, how many arcs you have and what's the plan for that? Mm-hmm. And then you got to have a compelling story as well. Mm-hmm. You have to have something that's a little different. You know, everybody want to do the superheroes with the tights on and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, that's cool and all, but you know, I think also people have to take into consideration that, you know, when things are already played out and done, you know,
right?
You know, so you really have to take a look at, you know, is this any different that's out there already? You know, and if yeah. it is different, then what are you doing to stand over the rest? What are you doing to make yourself be noticed over hundreds of thousands of other creators who trying to get to that level too? That's yeah. why anything that I tell people to do when it comes to comics, try to be as big and loud and fan out over them as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. You know, bring, oh my God, also another thing that would just irritate me, and now I'm going into my rant, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
When I watch interviews, mm-hmm. like what we're doing from creators who, you know, that the podcasters or the interviewers are wanting to, you know, give them a platform to promote their work on, right? Mm-hmm. And then they go on there and they're like, you know, just mellow tone,
yeah.
Boring as hell. Ooh, I can't stand that. I don't know if you had any interviews like that, but one thing that just
bothers my soul.
I've seen so many creators come on there and just, you know, anything you do when you're watching, when people are watching you or listening to you, keep their attention.
Yeah.
You know, get them interested.
Yep, yep.
Let them know that you are that bitch, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm somebody for you to look at and take heed of. And I remember I watched one of your podcast that you did with David, and I love the energy that y'all did.
David, I swear I could I could talk to David all day.
And you know what? It kind of helps that he's an actor because he has that big personality already.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean when I say you have to have that personality and look at him. He's getting, he has a nice fan base. Mm-hmm. His Harriet Tubman books are doing good. It just got picked up option as well. Mm-hmm. And that's what you got to do. It's not just his work and his book, it's him. People follow him because of the personality and the expressions and the entertainment that he gives. So, you know, I was going to tell you that when I watched the interview, you guys did a good job on that. I enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
Shout out to David.
Shout out to David. I can't even take credit for it. I fed off his energy. It was dope. And he just did Nightmare in Newark. That is
coming out,
which is cool and different, and all of that too. You're absolutely right. Like going in, I have some really basic and simple questions that I ask everybody. But if you just you just answer it, say, "Oh yeah, I did this," and then you just stop. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, and then you know what's gonna happen, like. Probably 5 minutes later, the person's gonna be like, "Oh, this is boring. Let me turn this off."
Right.
You know, and then there you go. You possibly missed out on a potential fan, even if it's just one or two. That build annoying to that fan base, because that one or two gonna tell their person, and then them two gonna tell that one. And if you know, you got about you getting dozens of them because that one or two people then spreaded the word of what you're doing and how cool you are or how entertaining you are or you know, how much you have that they can listen to and learn from, you know. So honestly, to get to that level, going back to your question, it's so many avenues to the maze to get there. And it's really no right or wrong answer. It's just how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? Because I think, because let me tell you, I don't know if you know, do you know Sebastian Jones with Stranger Comics? He's the creator of Nairobi.
I know who he is. I know who we haven't. Yeah, I know who he is.
Okay. I've been friends with Sebastian for just, he was one of the first people that I was interacting with when I got in comics. And I remember I called him. I was getting out the car, going into work, and we had our first conversation, and we had a good conversation. And I remember he was one of those people in the beginning that was motivating me and pushing me and, you know, telling me that, you know, I got something good there and keep going. And actually, Stranger Comics was one of the first publishing companies that I was trying to get with at the time. Mm-hmm. And I did have an offer from Sebastian as well. He was interested, but I just still felt that Scott was the best place for me to go.
Yeah.
Well, shout out to Sebastian.
Shout out to Sebastian. Yeah. And that's what's up, because Stranger Comics is killing it too.
Definitely. They're doing some really good things, and now he's also getting into working with what's his name, the producer. It's not with a P. Pierman, Preston, something like that. I'm sorry, I'm probably killing his name. But I know it was announced that him and Sebastian partnered together because they're trying to help creators get their movie noticed by Hollywood and all stuff. So, yeah. I mean, get their comics noticed by Hollywood.
Yeah, well, cool. LaShawn, thank you so much for coming on to the show and talking and sharing your journey.
Yeah.
We definitely got to have you back to talk about, you know, the experience after getting into a big publisher and hear all the great stories, you know, from beyond there. So I appreciate you. Yeah. But tell people, how can they follow you? How can they find you? How can they pick up, if they wanted to pick up Beautiful Soldiers today, could they and how?
You can follow me on Facebook. My name is LaShawn Colvin. I also have a Beautiful Soldiers fan page. You can follow there. My Instagram is beautiful_soldiers. And then my Twitter, I have a Twitter, is team_beautiful. So you can follow me on those. And then I have my website, beautifulsoldiers.com. And, you know, I tell everybody, message me anytime, any day, any questions you have. I definitely will be there to help and guide you. You know, don't hesitate to reach out. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, appreciate you for coming on, sharing your story, and motivating people. And I will say that, you know, the one of the biggest things I've heard from successful creators is like, don't cut corners on art. And I say it that slow because it is like the thing.
Yes.
Cut corners on art, and then you start complaining about, well, oh, ain't nobody picking it up. Well, you already agreed to yourself that the art was subpar. That's why you paid less.
That's right. Right. That is very true.
Yeah.
Don't cut corners on your art. Get the best artist in art and colorist that you can. When you put in cheap results, you get cheap results.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So cool. Appreciate you coming on, LaShawn
Colvin. Yes, thank you for, you know, having me. This was really fun. I enjoyed it. Hopefully we have many more conversations in the future, especially like after the book is in stores next year. You know, I can maybe come on and talk with you about how that's going or something.
Yep. We look forward to it.
So that does it for another episode of Black Comic Creators. Hopefully you found a new creator to follow. You had a little bit of fun, learned something, and just enjoyed yourself. So like I said, that's it. Next week, we got another new creator, new content dropping every Friday, trying to drop every Friday. Don't hold me to that. But yeah, new content coming on a consistent basis. If you're interested in learning more about Dark Moon Comics, more about the manga that we're releasing, go to darkmooncomics.com. You can find us on social media, Instagram or Facebook at Dark Moon Comics. Check out Black Spartans and make sure you like and subscribe and just follow the podcast and stay tuned for, like I said, new episodes dropping every Friday. Peace.